Often you can tell a lot from song titles. We're hearing the tune Everything Will Be Beautiful in the End from James Barrett's first CD. There are other tunes on the album as well with somewhat positive sounding names, Something New, Silver Lining, and Do It Better. And that tune is perhaps looking to the future, a future that, with work, will be better. These songs call out the darkness in our lives and name it. Barrett's lived it, and yet he's not defeated by any of his experiences. So when he names the annual music festival he produces in Scranton each summer the Good Things Are Happening Fest, he's not being cynical at all. He loves music and bringing bands together to share with others, and he's truly grateful that so many of his musical dreams have come true, this festival among them, and that's no doubt why the souvenir tote bag boldly proclaims 8 times over, the dream is alive in Scranton. James Barrett stopped in at the WVIA studios to talk about the Good Things Are Happening Fest that will take place Saturday, September 6th at the Scranton Iron Furnaces. And we began with a bit about Barrett's own musical journey.
I was born in Scranton, live in Clark Summit, and have for a very long time, my whole life.
And what were you doing as little, James? Were you playing in the school band?
Well, I didn't start playing music until I was in third grade. And then my dad always played guitar in my basement. He kind of just played to himself. And then my brother started drumming. My brother's older than me. He started drumming really young. So I was kind of just always surrounded by music. But it wasn't until about third grade that I picked up my first bass.
Are you a bassist then?
Yeah, bassist first, then guitarist. But it seems like I'm stuck playing guitar all the time.
And so with third grade, though, what kinds of things were you playing?
Anything my siblings were listening to, you know? I feel like that was a big thing, is that not only did my dad and my brother play music, but my two sisters also were just like very, very active, like listeners of music. They didn't play anything, but when I first started playing bass, I was playing like Sublime or a lot of Blink-182 songs or just like anything that they were listening to, really.
Something told you that you weren't going to go very far from music, right?
Yeah. I feel like even before I started playing, I always wanted to, but I was afraid to start for some reason, which was crazy. I just remember that, but I remember being nervous to tell my parents that I wanted to play music, even though my dad and my brother are musicians. It doesn't, you know, confusing.
What about lessons? Did you ever take any?
I took bass lessons for a little bit, and then I switched to guitar lessons, and then not really. I did orchestra in middle school and high school, and at some point I took some string bass lessons because of that, but that didn't last very long. Now I want to take lessons again. I kind of regret not being so interested in them. I always just wanted to do my own thing, and then now I'm like, I really should take lessons again.
What about then hooking up with other musicians and starting bands? Did you do that?
Yeah. I mean, I've been playing with people ever since I started playing, and I think that was what I knew so early on that I wanted to just keep doing it because I just loved that feeling. So I played in bands all throughout middle school and high school, but it was around high school I started doing my own music under my own. Well, really, I've been doing my own music under my own name for a long time, but I started taking it more seriously in high school and afterwards.
What about the difference between an electric bass and an acoustic bass?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely way different. I actually, to be honest, I think I enjoyed playing string bass a little more at times, but it was just fun. There was something really, really fun about it, and I definitely miss playing it a lot, and I kind of want to, if I ever find the time, join some type of orchestra again.
What have you noticed since you have been playing music? You're in Scranton. What's changed in the music scene?
Yeah, I think a lot. I feel like when I first started playing out, which was 2010, I was 11 or 12. I think around that time, a lot of the venues were closing. So the Vintage Theater was around, but that didn't last much longer. And then New Visions was around. That was at the bottom of Vine Street. That didn't last long. But like all these venues would come and go. And I feel like, so when I first started playing, it was really difficult to find places to perform. But I feel like now it's kind of still a similar problem. But I think what I've noticed is just that there's just so many bands now and everyone's so good. I think the music scene's always been great. It's just a lack of places to perform. You know?
What about the bars?
Yeah, you know, I think there's like two types of shows. There's the shows you play with your band where you want people engaged. And there's shows you play at bars that are just easy gigs, you know, paying gigs. But the Bog has music every single Wednesday, and I think people really come out and support that a lot. I also host an open mic at Voodoo Brewing on Wednesdays, which goes 6 to 9, and then Music at the Bog starts at 9. So Wednesday's a good night for music in Scranton. But I've always said there's so many people that want to play. There's just not a lot of places to play at.
Is that the inspiration for Good Things Are Happening?
That was definitely part of it. You know, I've been lucky to play. So when I perform, I play my own music, but I have a band that plays with me. And we've been, you know, fortunate to play in all sorts of places. And I've met a lot of bands on the road. And I always want to return the favor too for the bands that I really enjoy and that have helped me out. And I never have anywhere to put them because there's only, I feel like the theaters we have here are huge. So if you're a touring band, you can't really expect to sell out like a 600 capacity theater, but there should be like a little middle ground, and I could never find that. So that was definitely part of it where I was like, you know what, let's just do a all day thing so I could put a bunch of bands on it.
And why did you choose the Iron Furnaces?
So funny enough, I always heard about the Iron Furnaces, but I feel like I know everything Scranton. And then at the time in 2022, that was the one place I had not been. So I actually, when I came up with the idea, that was the first place I thought of because I was like, okay, it's in downtown Scranton. I've never been there, but I should go check it out. And I had already emailed Bodie before I even went. Bodie, he's the guy in charge there. And after he got back to me and was interested in doing it, then I went to go see it. And once I saw it, I was like, this place is awesome. So cool.
Tell people what it used to be.
I mean, they made iron there using coal. So I think it was a very, very Scranton historic place because, you know, obviously Scranton was known for all the coal mines and everything like that. So they would use coal there to make iron. And it was started in like 1840, I think, a long time ago, like before. I think we may have still been Slocum Hollow when it first started, but I can't remember if that's right or not.
So you started this not knowing, but feeling somewhere in your musician's soul mm-hmm. that this would work. So yeah. What happened? Tell us about the first one.
Yeah, it's really crazy. I put it out on the internet that I thought it'd be a cool thing to do. This is all hypothetical too. I was like, it'd be cool to someday have a music festival that there's tons of vendors there, but the focus is the music. And I never want to say that to take away from the vendors too, because I think the vendors are just as important, but I always feel like there's a lot of events where it's like, hey, we have 40 vendors and there's also live music. Where I kind of want it to be like, no, you want to go see the bands. And then you find all these amazing vendors at the same time. So that was kind of my thought process behind it. And once I put it out on the internet, it just blew up. And I had a bunch of people start reaching out to me. I had hundreds of bands message me, like truly hundreds. And then I had Matt Kester from Matt Kester Productions reached out to me. I'm sure he regrets that at this point because now here he is in year four still with me. But I just had a bunch of people from the area reach out, and the whole thing I got from it was that people were dying for something like this to happen. So that was May of 2022, and somehow in 3 months, we put together the first one. It was extremely DIY. Our stage was the La Festa stage. That's every year at the Italian Festival in Scranton. Like a little box stage on a truck. And we survived year one. And then we said, if we could do it in 3 months, we could do it in a year.
Do you have any sense of how many people might have come and gone and audience?
Yeah. So, I mean, the first year we did it, we had over 400 people come, which was awesome. You know, we didn't really know what to expect at all. And I was like, this could fail drastically, you know? And I had a lot of people tell me, just be careful because if this goes wrong, you could be out a lot of money. And I've learned all of that, you know, but luckily we've been good. We've never like lost a ton of money. You know, we've never really made a lot of money either, but we haven't been put in a hole. But yeah, I mean, the first year we had around 400 or so people. Second year we made a little more stride with 500 or so. And then last year was the most we had. I think it was almost 700 people there last year. So, and people come and go throughout the day too. So it's, you know, there's never always that many people there all at once, but people come in and out all day.
Well, you have a slogan that people recognize or the title. Tell us how you decided to do that.
So I feel like for a very long time, anytime I had something good to share or just anything positive to talk about, like especially on social media, I would always use the Good Things Are Happening Fest picture from WNEP, the local news station. And then when it came time to doing this, I was like, that just sounds like a great name. Good Things Are Happening Fest, you know? So I did reach out to them to make sure I had the okay to name my festival that. And they gave me the okay. We had to switch some things around with the logo, but they were supportive of it. And it seemed like the second we announced that, everyone immediately got that nostalgic reminder And it's definitely led very much into our brand, just, you know, kind of retro and cool stuff.
You have a poster right between us,
yeah.
And the Menzingers are the headliners.
Yeah.
Tell us what that means for people who don't know them.
Yeah, it's crazy. I feel like if there was a dream band to book when I first started this, it had to be the Menzingers. They are Scranton's biggest band. My idols growing up, when I was a kid, the first time I saw them was at the first Vintage Theater that was in the Ritz Theater now on Wyoming Ave. It was like a little small room, and I saw them in 2009. And then I probably saw them 10 more times by the time I graduated high school. So, I mean, I always was following them, and, you know, they just continued to get bigger and bigger. And eventually, I mean, my whole goal forever was to always play the holiday show that they would do every December. They would put a show on in Scranton. Usually the last couple of years was at the Cultural Center, and I got lucky enough to play the last three of them. And it was like my dream for years to do it. So to come back now after all of that, having made that whole cycle, and then to put them on the festival this year, it just feels really, really crazy.
And how do you describe the music that they play?
They're definitely, you know, like a punk band or a hard rock band. I don't really know. I mean, they're cool, though. They have like a lot of very different sounding songs, in my opinion. And I think a lot of their albums are very, very different. I think each album has its own sound, which is really cool. But I think a lot of people in this area absolutely love them regardless. Yeah, it's cool.
And you're playing, right?
Yeah.
You and your band?
Yes. So the only way I'll do the festival, and all I ask is just let my band play. Let my band play one cool show for the year. Yeah, we used to play in Scranton a lot. We really haven't much the last couple of years, and a lot of that is because I like to make this our one big show every year. So this has kind of come to my summer show, and I build it. I get a bunch of bands on it, and we find a really cool headliner. And yeah, it's cool. So we're very excited to play. It's my favorite show every single year, and it's just awesome.
Now, you've got a lot of other acts.
We got Rosary Guild, Alma Mater reunion show, first show in 5 years. Vinny, who is my guitarist in my band, that was his band, and they haven't played in a very long time, so very stoked to have them come back. Sarah Gross and the Killjoys, Bobby Mahoney, Pretty Rude, Hit Like a Girl, Southside Five, Sweetnest, and Cortez. All these bands are either from Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, or regional bands. Bobby Mahoney is from Jersey, Hit Like a Girl is from Jersey, Sarah Gross is from Long Island, and Cortez is from upstate New York, I think. Yeah.
I sat across the table from AJ Jump.
Yes.
Southside Five?
Yep. Southside Five is just, they're just so fun. It's a super cool band. My friend Roy Williams plays guitar in that band. I tell everyone he's the best musician I've ever met in my life. Like, without a doubt, if someone ever said, who's the best musician you've ever met, it's probably Roy Williams. So he's amazing. AJ Jump, Ian Perkins, we got Nick Driscoll, and then Mike Williams too. You know, they're all like some of the best musicians I've ever met. And they're just such a cool band. They used to play at Jack's Draft House every Thursday, and it was like my Thursday thing. I would just go every week because I could listen to it forever. I can listen to that style of gypsy jazz music nonstop and never even think twice about it, you know? So I think they're going to be really cool. We've never had an instrumental band for the festival, but I think people are just going to absolutely love it because it's just, how could you not?
Date and time.
So the date of the show is Saturday, September 6th. Doors are at 12. Cortez kicks it off at 12:30, goes all day. Menzingers go on around 9, and re-entry is permitted. So if you get a wristband, you can come and go. That way, if you need to take a breather, do whatever you got to do, you can come back. And kids get in for free if they're under 10. And we also do free water as well, so you can bring a water bottle. We try to make it as people-friendly as possible. Free water and re-entry. You can bring a chair if you want. Just have fun.
What about the website and how we find out more?
Yeah. So we're on all social medias, Good Things Are Happening Fest. We have a website, goodthingsfestba.com, and we could buy tickets there. It'll bring you to Ticket Leap. We'll have tickets on sale day of, as long as they don't sell out, which it's a high amount of tickets, but you never know. It's really cool. You know, yeah, it's really, really, really cool.
Musician James Barrett. He's a singer-songwriter, an event producer, and he's been speaking with us about this year's Good Things Are Happening Fest, Saturday, the 6th of September, getting underway at noon with doors opening, and then Cortez will start at 12:30, so that's when the music begins. It's taking place at the Scranton Iron Furnaces in downtown Scranton, And for more information on all social media and the website, goodthingsfestpa.com, goodthingsfestpa.com. And as we've heard, the Mensingers are headlining this event, and you can get all the information you need online. And if you go to the website, it is goodthingsfestpa.com. And that festival will take place Saturday, September 6th. Doors open at 12 p.m. at the Scranton Iron Furnaces. And the Mensingers, the star band, will get underway about 9 o'clock. For more information, goodthingsfestpa.com. Just try to find my way.